You're listening to The Takeaway with Femi OK and
Catherine Lanfer. Happy to be here.
Good to have you, Catherine. So, it wasn't quite a handwritten invitation, but the US and six other nations say that they will sit down for talks with Iran over its nuclear program. So, this is a huge shift in policy from the Bush administration, which refused to meet face-to-face with Iranian officials. So, for more on the delicate strategic dance between the Obama administration and the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, we're here with Trita Parsi. He's the author of Treacherous Alliance, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel and the United States. And he's also president of the National Iranian American Council. And also joining us is Gary Sick. He's a senior researcher scholar at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. Gentlemen, I don't know which of your titles is more impressive, but as your friends, we won't quibble about that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Trita and Gary, first of all, I want you to listen to President Obama speaking recently about Iran.
If the Iranian threat is eliminated, we will have a stronger basis for security, and the driving force for missile defense construction in Europe will be removed.
Gary, why are both sides now, Iran and the United States, behaving so differently than they have in the past?
Well, the best explanation, I think, is really politics. The Obama administration is taking a very different tack than the Bush administration. They are offering a hand. They are offering cooperation. They're offering goodwill to Iran, something that hasn't really happened for most of the last 30 years. And I think the Iranians, who are in the middle of a presidential election, are responding by having a debate about what they should do about their relations with the United States, a debate that they have never had in 30 years. And both sides now are beginning to realize that there are some real advantages to having a relationship, and that is actually, I think, driving both of them to behave in a really remarkable way since there's been nothing but hostility for 30 years.
Gary, let me just ask a quick follow-up here. This is Catherine Lanfer. What risks are there for Iran's leadership for now treating the United States in a more friendly? People expected, I think, of Obama, but not necessarily of the hardliners already in place in Iran.
Well, partly it's because of what Obama has said. First of all, the United States has almost always been popular in Iran. Americans have been. The policies of the government have not been popular, but the Americans themselves are welcomed very warmly when they go to Iran and are always amazed how people really like them. So there is a body of goodwill that exists just below the surface in Iran. The problem for them, however, is that if they take away the enemy that they have been using to bash for 30 years, that means they've got to change their strategy, too. The Iranian Revolution was not just against the Shah. It was against the United States. And if you take that away, what's left of the revolution then? They go out every week and have a prayer meeting on Fridays at Tehran University, and they all shout, "Death to America." What are they going to say when that comes up? And if taking that slogan out of the revolution, is that going to change the revolution? So the people who are running the show, who are pretty conservative and who are not really looking for change, are put in a bit of a box by Obama. He's being nice to them for a change, and I think they're having a hard time adjusting to how they should behave.
Trita, tell me about that adjustment period. What is Iran doing right now? What do you think the political discussions are happening and people are saying back in Tehran?
Well, I think Gary is right that Obama's outreach is really changing the picture. And there is a debate in Iran, and I think the Iranians have been ready for some time to talk to the United States. We have to remember that Undersecretary Burns was actually attending the last meeting of the P5+1. He wasn't permitted to talk, apparently, but he was permitted to attend it. And the Iranians welcomed his attendance, made no protest about it or anything of that nature. And I can tell you from various track twos that I've attended that there's an eagerness to engage with the United States, but there's also a tremendous suspicion because the Iranians are trying to find out what the American end game is. They're hearing a much, much more constructive language from the Obama administration, but they're still not certain as to whether the objectives of the United States when it comes to Iran have changed or not.
How can the outcome of the presidential elections in Iran affect future talks with the United States? That's to Trita.
Well, I think it changes the political picture quite a lot, and obviously would make it much more politically feasible for the United States to continue with this approach with Iran. If someone is the president in Iran that isn't talking like Ahmadinejad currently is, particularly about Israel. But I think we have to be cautious when it comes to our expectations about how the substance and the red lines of the Iranians may change under a new president. I fear that it will not change that significantly. If you listen, for instance, to the comments made by the front runner from the reformer side in the election, you see that when it comes to the nuclear issue, there is an almost identical position. He is just more... he's trying to present it in a much better light. He even said that he wants to make sure that the program, that he reduces the negatives of the program for Iran and the cost of the program, but he's not talking about ending the program in the slightest.
Gary, is this going to be a problem, the whole nuclear power issue, in the terms when it comes to talking with Iran and the United States? Is this going to be a sticking point?
I think it is one of the sticking points. Actually, it's not the only one. I mean, we have to think about Iran's support for Hezbollah, the connections that it has to Hamas, a lot of other charges that have been made against it. There's a whole question about whether Iran would cooperate with us as we leave Iraq, or the reverse. And the same is true in Afghanistan. Would they actually assist in the process of stabilizing the country? So there is not a shortage of things to talk about. But the nuclear one is the one that has been made the most prominent. And I think that probably is, if it's not going to be where people start, it's going to be where they quickly end up, because they can't avoid talking about it. And there are a lot of people in this country who are saying you can't talk to Iran more than just a very short time, because they'll use that time to continue building a bomb. There is no evidence, in fact, that Iran is building a bomb, but they certainly are creating the capability that would let them build a bomb if that possibility comes up, if they should decide that they want to do it. And that makes everybody nervous. So part of the talks are going to be, how do we provide assurances on both sides that we will not attack them and interfere with their internal affairs? And how will they provide assurances that they are, in fact, not building a bomb? And that means more inspection. It means accepting a wider purview for the International Atomic Energy Agency people to oversee their facilities. There have been a few tiny signals that Iran was, as a matter of goodwill, was prepared to slow down. For instance, last year, Iran had the capability of bringing online another 2,000 centrifuges. Those centrifuges are sitting there, capable of being, in effect, introduced into the line at any point, but they haven't done it so far. We'll hear in the next few days whether they have now introduced those. But that was a tiny signal that Iran, in fact, was saying, all right, in the meantime, we've got this here. We want you to know that we can use these, but we're not doing it right now. And I think we should look at that from a positive point of view, and then see if we can build on that.
Trita, Iran has had not much practice recently of talking to the United States. Logistically, how does that actually happen? When will the talks happen even?
Well, the talks will be, first of all, the P5 plus one will have to set a day to, together with the Iranians, for such a conversation. And I think what is happening in the meantime is that the United States is now exploring alternative avenues complementary avenues to talk to the Iranians. The Obama administration's approach seems to be to not just talk about Iran when it comes to enrichment and the nuclear issue, but also about Afghanistan and about other issues. And I think it's a very important approach, because they're not reducing Iran into a one-issue country. It's not just about the nuclear issue. It's obviously a very important part of it, but they're not going to view Iran only through that prism. And that in and of itself is going to be very helpful in order to be able to find a solution to the 30-year-old standoff.
Trita Parsi, you're the author of Treacherous Alliance, The Secret Dealings of Iran, Israel and the United States. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And also thank you to Gary Sick, Senior Research Scholar at Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs. Trita, Gary, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.